Hello, this is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church of the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. It's tough to follow a joke about thunderwear, but we're going to do our best. I'm just so grateful for those who are upstairs with our kids right now and who kind of rotate through on a weekly basis to help kids worship in ways that are appropriate for them, but also our worship team every week coming and leading us in worship. Aren't you grateful and thankful for the people that we have? Absolutely. I am as well. So good to just be family together and to gather in this place and say, Lord, here we are to worship you, and we're going to offer our talents and our gifts and our very selves to you as we worship. And I pray and hope that is what we do each week. As we started this year, we kind of set out on a course and a path to have several different things that we do each week of the month as we gather. And on the first weeks of the month, we've often shared a creed or recited the Lord's Prayer together or had something that we've kind of spoken together. But this week I found a prayer, and it's credited to St. Thomas Aquinas. And I'd just like to start our time this morning with me offering this prayer on our behalf. Would you pray with me? Grant us, O Lord our God, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope of finally embracing you. Amen. Amen. May it be so. Well, it's been great this past summer moving through the Sermon on the Mount with you. I hope that it's been insightful for you and meaningful for you. It has been for me. It's gotten up a little bit into my business here and there because, man, there's just some real practical things that God says in the chapters that we've moved through. And in the thing about the Sermon on the Mount, it's just really has those practical insights that speak to our lives, talking about stuff that we face all the time, which is why it's kind of fun and why it's kind of risky and challenging as we go through that. As we reached the end of the Sermon on the Mount last week, we're turning back now to the lectionary texts. Lectionary is a set of readings pulled together to help preachers cycle through a wide sample of biblical texts throughout the course of 3 years. It's a three-year cycle. There's A year, B year, C year, and we are currently in the A year. This is the second time I've gone through year A, which means I've been here almost 4 years. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. In December, it'll be 4 years, which it seems like, yeah, how did it go by that fast? I'm not sure. Hopefully, some of you feel the same way and not like, man, it's been forever. But it's okay if you feel that way too. But seeing as we have spent the last 12 weeks or so, kind of pulling from the gospel, I want to turn our attention over the course of these next several weeks through the Old Testament passages. Today, we're turning to Jeremiah. It's always helpful to kind of check in with what's going on in the context of Israel. As we turn to the Old Testament scriptures, sometimes we can just kind of focus on the passage, but I think it's important that we focus on the context of what's going on. Stephen Cook writes this about the status of Israel as Jeremiah arises to the role of prophet. He says, in the decades before the fall of Judah in 586 BCE, the prophet Jeremiah confronted the blithe disregard of God in the land. People's heads were in the sand as their world came unglued. They heedlessly nicknamed Jeremiah Danger Everywhere and persecuted him for his prophecies. The prophet's suffering amid the conflict is laid bare before the reader in passages such as ours. It teaches us what a dogged orientation on God's purpose and work may cost. So Jeremiah was preaching and prophesying in a place that had kind of turned their back on God. He's the danger prophet. Oh, here comes Jeremiah again, spouting his doom and gloom. Here he comes. And that's how he was treated. And so that's the context in which Jeremiah is speaking to his people. And as we open up the word today, we're turning to Jeremiah chapter 15. I'm going to be starting in verse 15 and reading to the end of the chapter in verse 21. Out of reverence for the reading of God's word, with those who are willing and able, would you please stand as we read together from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 15, starting in verse 15 from the Common English Bible. You understand, Lord. Remember me and act on my behalf. Bring judgment on those who torment me. In your mercy, spare my life. Consider how I'm insulted on your account. When your words turned up, I feasted on them, and they became my joy, the delight of my heart, because I belong to you, Lord God of heavenly forces. I didn't join the festive occasions. I took no delight in them. I sat alone because your hand was upon me and you had filled me with curses. Why am I always in pain? Why is my wound incurable, so far beyond healing? You have become for me as unreliable as a spring gone dry. Verse 19. Therefore, the Lord proclaims, if you return to me, I will take you back and let you stand before me. If you utter what is worthwhile and not what is worthless, you will be my spokesman. They will turn to you, not you to them. I will make you a sturdy bronze wall against these people. They will attack you, but they won't triumph, because I am with you to protect you and rescue you, declares the Lord. I will rescue you from the hand of the wicked. I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. We say, thanks be to God. Please be seated. I don't know if this ever has occurred for you, but it has occurred for me. Have you ever had a relationship where you probably should have been a little more formal, or maybe where it just got a little confusing on how you should act with this person in certain contexts, okay? The example that I think of is in Centralia, where we previously lived. We had a pediatrician by the name of Dr. Polly, Dr. Jennifer Polly. She was an amazing pediatrician, that we were able to take our kids to during that time. But as first-time parents who came to the well child check, Jalen was just really small, we both went to the appointments. We're like, oh, here's our baby. Check her out. See how she's doing. Is she healthy? Is she strong? Are all the developmental markers occurring? I mean, we both went to those well child checks, you know, and it was in that first well child check that we had both attended that she and I had kind of made this good connection. A strange factoid about all of it is that my wife and I share a birthday, and she shared the same birthday. So all three of us were April 5th birthdays, which is really weird. None of us are in the same year, but It was crazy. And she asked, you know, what I did. And so we talked about how I was a pastor at the church in town. And we got talking about church and faith. She asked about the authors I was reading. And we just made this great connection. From time to time, we would get together and share a meal, wake up early and have breakfast together. By the end of my time in Centralia, she basically was kind of a spiritual director for me of sorts, where we just talked and shared about what God was doing and how the Spirit was moving in our lives in these ways. She kind of became a close friend of the family, and so she had come over to the house sometimes, and she had a friend that lived a couple doors down, and when she would visit her, she would come over and see how things were. We shared a couple meals together as family. It was wonderful. We moved to Mountain Home about just under 4 years ago, and we went to the doctor, and one of the kids asked, "When is the doctor coming over to our house? When is she going to come share dinner?" And we kind of said, "Well, you know, that was kind of a unique relationship. We had this relationship with our previous pediatrician that was a little more close, a little more personal. But it's not common with our doctors. It was kind of unusual. It was a mutual friendship that had brought life and joy. But from the outside looking in, the way that we were treating our pediatrician was a little odd, not common. I feel a little bit like that when I see Jeremiah and how he treats God in this passage. When we look at Jeremiah, Jeremiah is kind of bringing it to God. In the first section that we read, talking to him in ways that, at the very least, probably make us a little uncomfortable, the way that Jeremiah talks about God. Take a look. Verse 15, all right at the very beginning, Jeremiah is talking about calling down judgment on Jeremiah's enemy. Verse 17, blaming God for his feelings of missing out, his FOMO, right? Missing festive occasions, saying, "I was sitting on the sidelines, God. I stayed away." Verse 18, "I'm always in pain. I have this incurable wound. God has become unreliable, like a spring gone dry." That's in the Common English. In the New Revised Standard, he calls God a deceitful brook. A deceitful creek or crick, right? Right, Davis says? Is it creek or is it crick? We better not start that up again. God is like this source of water that kind of comes for a little bit and then goes away. As we look to the Old Testament, there's certainly a precedent set for complaint and lament to God. As we look to the Psalms, if you read through the Psalms, there's plenty of passages where the psalmist is complaining to God. This was not anything new. The Psalms contain some of the most jarring addresses to God. "Why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Where have you gone? You've let me down. I have no hope left." And honestly, sometimes I feel like we've lost that ability sometimes to lament in our world and in the church today. There are a few exceptions, but a lot of the worship songs, not many of the worship songs that we sing today are laments, where we cry out to God with our hearts saying, "Where have you gone? And why is life this difficult? Why do I feel abandoned? Why do I feel let down?" That doesn't make for a cheery, peppy song that plays on the radio on Air One or K-Love. I have a friend in ministry who met with in an interfaith gathering. So Christian faiths were there, and Jewish faith, and Muslim faiths, and other faiths. And the rabbi was picking on the Christians, like, "You Christians are just always so nice to God. Like, praise Jesus, and we're so happy, and God is so good." The Jews and the rabbis know how to be angry with God, how to express their disappointment, how to call out and cry out and say, this isn't right, this isn't fair. Where have you gone? Establish justice here. Not in a way that puts their faith in crisis, but in a way that pours out their heart and life to God in sincerity and with integrity. And I think it's possible and perhaps likely we need to do more of that work in our own lives. To ask those questions, where are you, God? Why haven't you shown up? Why am I in pain? Why am I going through this? You're a deceitful brook. You've let me down. This isn't how it was all supposed to go. And I don't know how that feels to you. I know how it feels to me sometimes. Sometimes it feels a little disrespectful. Sometimes it feels maybe sacrilegious. I don't know how it feels to hear the preacher saying, sometimes we've got to let God have it with where we're at. But I know that it does sound honest. It does sound raw and real. It does sound like us pouring out ourselves to God. And the thing that I especially know is that God can handle it. God's big enough. God's strong enough. God's resolute enough. God is enough to handle where we're at. God's doing just fine with our doubts, with our accusations, with our questions, and with our lament. God's going to be okay. And it's after this honest moment with God that the story turns a little bit in our passage. And what's remarkable to me about this passage is the recording of God's response. As much as Jeremiah's crying out to God can be an example for us and shows what it means to pour our hearts out to God, God's response is pretty important in this passage as well. Of course, this is Jeremiah's book, and God's response is kind of a reproof, kind of a slap back to Jeremiah. Part of me, if I was on the editing committee of Jeremiah's book, I'd be like, maybe you want to leave this part out. I'm not sure. Do we have to go here and record what God says? Thankfully, Jeremiah doesn't leave it out. Thankfully, the editing committee doesn't win. God's correction isn't kind and soft and gentle. God's response is firm and strong. We see in God's response that Jeremiah had drifted. And there is always that danger present. The danger of drifting away from God, the danger of walking away from God is always present. you might be thinking, hey, didn't you just tell us that it was okay to question God and to share with God what's going on? I would say, yes, exactly. That in our honest and raw feelings with God, sometimes God does have to correct us. Sometimes God does have to step in and say, look, you're wandering away. And I really want to ask this question today. Is it a greater threat to shield our true thoughts and feelings, or is it a greater threat to hide them? In those moments of feeling lost, of feeling abandoned, of feeling left out, Jeremiah sets the example of go and talk to God about it. Share your true thoughts. Share your feelings. Get it out. Cry to God. Yell at God. Question God. For God can handle all of those things. Sometimes what I see in the people of God is in those moments, they go quiet. They disengage, they unplug, they say, something's wrong. I feel lost, but I'm just going to keep it all inside. I'm just going to hold it and see how that goes. I've seen people hurt by others in the church. I've seen people struggling in a tsunami of grief over one or two or three or eight things happening in their life at the same time. I see people feeling displaced because they don't know where they fit in the church. Maybe a marriage has fallen apart, or maybe they're sick, or maybe they're in need in some sort of way. And I've seen people just kind of set adrift by silence and disengagement. Those who cry out to God in those moments have the chance to stay engaged, have a chance to stay connected to our source, but also connected to the body in order to do the work that needs to be done. For Jeremiah, Judah was a mess, was walking their own way. Cook describes as having their head in the sand. They had forgotten God's call upon this nation to be a light for the world around them. Kind of turned in on themselves, kind of stuck in their own problems and focused on their own needs. That's not why God had chosen Israel as some sort of status to be above the rest of the nations, but to be a servant and to be a light for the nations. God says, return to me, implying that Jeremiah had wandered off. God says, utter what is worthwhile, implying that some of the things Jeremiah had spouted off had been a little or completely worthless. God says, they will turn, don't you turn, implying that Jeremiah had, or at least was thinking about, turning his direction and walking another way. If all this correction had been needed, it's needed because of something that Jeremiah had started to make these changes and walking away from where God had wanted him to go. And if the prophet is able to make this return, to make this correction, to follow the advice, to follow the call, to follow what God was saying, this is Yahweh's promise to Jeremiah. I will make you a wall of bronze, a sturdy bronze wall. Bronze was this hardened metal. In the Old Testament, it was the substance of armor. It was an image of strength, the material of pillars that held up strong and established structures. And the picture here is of a wall anchored in the ground, static and immovable, established so that it was sturdy, strong and unyielding. What catches me in this whole thing is the contrast. When you take a look at this passage from beginning to end, what catches my attention is the contrast. That which God is wanting to turn Jeremiah into. This image that he gives him of what he will do in his life. I will make you this sturdy bronze wall. The picture of that, in contrast with where he entered this chapter and this passage, crying for judgment. God, won't you pour out your judgment? Insulted and offended, indignant, a bit of a pity party going on. Jeremiah, when will you make this right? When will you attack my enemies? When will I stop missing out? When will I no longer be in pain? When will I have this incurable wound healed? God's desire, I wish to make you into a sturdy bronze wall. That sounds pretty good, folks. Do you want to be a sturdy bronze wall for God's purposes. I do. I do. And for Jeremiah, it took walking through the path of being honest with God, of pouring out his heart to God before he could get there. God was honest with him. He says, they are going to attack you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah will be confronted, assaulted, attacked, berated, mocked, abused in his role. It's not over with these pending promises of God. We don't make a sturdy bronze wall, Jeremiah, for you to stand there and withstand nothing. God doesn't say it's an easy road from here on out. All you have to do is obey. It's not over with these promises of God and the transformation that God is going to bring. It's all going to happen. It won't be pleasant. It won't be easy or fair or right, but the outcome is stated. They won't triumph. They won't triumph against you. Additionally, the actions of God are clear. I am with you. I will protect you. I will rescue you. And in case you missed it, to add to emphasis, and the Old Testament sometimes repeats things. And when the Old Testament repeats things, it doesn't mean something new. It means something stronger. They don't want you to miss it. I will rescue you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. The last verse says. I'm going to invite the praise team to come. We're going to close with a song today. Maybe today we find ourselves in a similar place to where Jeremiah starts the passage today. Life is hard at times. Life is difficult at times. Why am I constantly in pain? Why are these wounds so persistent? Why do they not relent? Why do they not get healed? The promise from God today is not easy sailing, not a smooth road, not, oh, don't worry about it, everything will be fine now. The passage doesn't imply any of those things. What it does say is that in the power of God, we stay centered in who God is inviting us to be, as we return to God, God will transform us into a strong and sturdy bronze wall against those that would attack us. We will not be suddenly left alone, but we will be suddenly strengthened by a power and a force that is not our own, that is greater than ourselves. And it probably won't even always feel like that. There have been moments in my life where I've been right where God wants me, and I don't feel like a sturdy bronze wall, folks. I feel paper thin. Like I'm just hanging on. But the presence of God makes a difference in our lives, right? And it anchors us and holds us. It gives us a strength that we otherwise could not find. Perhaps in the story of Jeremiah, we find one who walked through tough days, even wavered in his confidence. Here we have a picture of a prophet sent by God preaching to the nation who was saying, where are you? Where have you gone? But he found his way back to being the prophet he had been called to be, with a new resolve, a new strength, and the power of God for whom he spoke, a God who wished to transform him into a sturdy bronze wall. May that be our prayer. May that be our cry. Amen? Let me pray for us, and then we'll sing as we close today. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance to be in your house, to be shaped and moved by you. And I thank you today for the call to, like Jeremiah modeled for us, pour our hearts out to you. To stay connected to you, even in the moments where we feel so frail and so thin. by your presence and by your power in our lives, may we become for you exactly what you intended for us to be. Not that we can brag or boast, but God, that we can rely on the power that you bring and the confidence that you give to us. May it be so in our lives, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church, the Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us. And have a great week.